What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Too Pop to Handle. I'm your host, Andrew Nicotola, your pop culture best friend. And as always, I hope you guys are having a fabulous week. I am so thrilled to be sitting here to inform you guys. You already know it's been everywhere. Nymphia Wind won Drag Race. And I just feel like if I don't start that the show saying that, I feel like I'm doing an injustice. If you have been listening to the podcast since the beginning of this season, season 16 of Drag Race, I have been rooting for this bitch since the second she walked into the workroom. And we are going to do a full episode recap later on in the show. I do my TV recap towards the end. So we'll get into like the nitty-gritty details of the episode because it was a fabulous finale, truly one of the best ones we've had in a while. But I couldn't come on and start the show without giving a huge congrats to my girl, Nymphia. I am so thrilled. I'm sure you have seen the video of our reaction when she won. I was going insane, as was the rest of the club. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. Let's rewind a bit. Let's chat. Let's catch up. Like I said, I hope you're all having a fabulous week. I sure have been. My weekend was wonderful. It was like equal parts relaxing, equal parts productive. I did a lot, but also like was able to really enjoy it. Friday night, I went to a Drag Race viewing party. If you didn't see, I posted my reaction to Nymphia winning, and literally the entire crowd went nuts. It was so much fun. I've only done two finale viewing parties. I did season 13 for Simone, and I did season 16 for Nymphia. And it is such a fun environment to be in for the finale. I don't know why I didn't do 14 and 15 season parties. I must have been busy or something. I don't know, because the finale is one that I like love to do a viewing party for because it's a finale, you know? So went to $3 Bill with Jocelyn and my friends the Jasons. They are dating as a duo, so they're the Jasons. And we had so much fun. It was a blast. And then Saturday, I was just living my New York City life. I woke up, it was raining, and I had some work to do. So I had some coffee in bed, worked on an outline for the episode I recorded on Sunday. I filmed some TikToks, did some editing. Then I just kind of went about my day wherever the day took me, which was wonderful. Thomas was away. He went to go visit his sisters for a sibling weekend. So I kind of just did whatever. I went in and I made some returns. I did some shopping. I got breakfast. Like I just did like, you know, the things that you do when you're trying to do like a self-care Saturday. And this is just a reminder to take some time, even if it's 2 hours, an hour, whatever time you can do, and just like treat yourself to a little, whether it's a coffee, a vinyl. I bought Sabrina Carpenter's album on vinyl, so that was my little treat to myself that day. Just like give yourself some time to really, you know, get the things you need to do done, enjoy your time. I went for a really long walk. It was gorgeous. It was so nice to just kind of like be on no schedule, be on no agenda, and just go on with my day. So that was my Saturday. It was fabulous. And then Sunday, we worked out, Thomas and I, and then I recorded an episode of the podcast with Delaney, my or our rather official Taylor Swift correspondent, as I like to call her. We recapped all of Tortured Poets Department for 3 hours. Now, obviously, we're gonna chat Tortured Poets for this episode, but it is going to be quick 5 minute recap. We are not going to get into it because, like I said, Delaney and I literally yapped for 3 hours on Sunday about this album, and we got into it, the nitty-gritty, certain lyrics, different production things that we liked, our favorite songs, what we're liking, what we're not. And the gag of it all is we didn't even do the entire double album, which again, we will get into the whole double album of it all in a bit. But that episode is live. You guys are loving it so far. It's gotten so many good comments. People are loving it, saying they love our take, saying they feel like they're in the room with us. Like, and that's exactly what I always want this podcast to be. I always wanted to kind of feel like you are having a conversation with one of your friends. We're on FaceTime. Obviously, we can't have a conversation because, you know, it's recorded. But like when I had Delaney on, when I had Gotti on, and being able to have someone to talk to, like, and the fact that that kind of translates even to my audience who is used to a solo episode, it's just fun. You know, like I said, this is a new journey for me. I've been doing this for 6 months on Thursday, which is crazy. And seeing like what people like, what they don't like, and just kind of like how an audience has begun to form and things like that. It's just cool, it's fun, and I just like, you know, I like seeing what people like, and you guys are loving the Taylor episode, so thank you for all your love on that. Delaney, thank you for coming on and spending your afternoon with us because we literally talked for hours, but it was so much fun. And definitely go check that out. And on the topic of Taylor Swift, if you haven't seen, I've been teasing it for weeks on the podcast, but I am hosting a giveaway with my friend Karina. She runs Resin Arena, who I feel like she's just like a lot of people in this Swiftie fandom know her. She makes jewelry. We are doing a giveaway for a signed Tortured Poets Department album and or vinyl rather, and a Tortured Poets Department necklace from Karina's shop. So a signed vinyl and a necklace could be yours. All you have to do is go over to my Instagram or her Instagram. So at @2popthehandle or at @resinrina. Follow us both, tag somebody in the comments, like the post, and if you want to share it to your story for an extra entry, go right ahead. But that is running until Friday. So this episode is coming out on Wednesday, the 24th. Friday the 26th, at some point we'll pick. So you have 2 days to enter from when this goes live. So go over there, enter. I'm so it's exciting to be able to do this. I was able to get a signed copy for you guys. So really, really excited for that. People have been entering left and right as I expected. So loving the feedback on that. And yeah, just it's just been, I mean, the elephant in the room, the elephant in the Tortured Poets Department is a Taylor Swift. So obviously, let's hop into it. I start every episode with our Drew releases, and this week is a special week because of the fact that we got a new Taylor Swift album. So, like I said, I'm not gonna give you my full spiel on the album because there is a 3-hour episode for you to listen to. Listen to it in parts. I know it is overwhelming that it's a very long episode, but break it up. That is really like two or three podcast episodes. So go hour by hour, an hour and a half at a time, sit down and commit to the whole 3 hours, however you want to do it. Go over and listen to that if you want my full thoughts on the album. But the TLDR on the album is I am loving it. Full transparency, the second half of the album, I have not really listened to much because I have been so overwhelmed with the first half and trying to like, I was getting that episode out. I was trying to like dissect the lyrics and do all of that. So first and foremost, the double album conspiracy finally came true. What the fuck? I feel like we have been speculating double albums from Taylor for years, and we finally got it. And she's been teasing it, you know, the two, she did it when she announced the album on the Grammy stage. There was the two, like the peace sign at the library. I talked about it last week on the episode when I did the like breakdown of it, but like it finally happened. We got the double album, and I was shook when I woke up. I did not stay up for the midnight release. Could not do that. But yeah, what the fuck? A double Taylor album. So very crazy. And before I go any further discussing this album on this episode, all I need to say is I was so completely wrong about what I said about Joe Alwyn last week. I take it back. I am so sorry. This album being about Matty Healy is crazy. I did not see that coming, but now having the album, it makes so much sense. Like, it all makes sense. Joe is not a tortured poet. Joe is fine. Like he's not a tortured poet. Matty Healy, however, a tortured poet. Like it makes so much sense and it was so clear, but I love the fact that none of us knew and we all had the realization that it was a Matty Healy album at the same time. Like there were no hints of who it was about. We just assumed Joe because we all kind of like forgot that there was a blip in time with the whole Matty Healy of it all. Fucking insane. I cannot believe it. Like I said, we dove into it deep on the episode, but Joe Alwyn, I take it back. You are not the most hated ex. I believe Matty Healy now is. I cannot believe we have an entire Matty Healy album. And I will say, I'm very impressed at the fact that like the Joe songs on the album, there's like two, maybe three. There's like it's a handful out of 31 songs. There's barely touching a third of them, a quarter of them, and they are not scathing. So I that kind of just leads me to think that her and Joe are on fine terms. I genuinely think it was a mutual breakup or like something they knew was coming. It happened. I think they're good. I don't think they're friends. I don't think they're friendly. Like I don't think they talk, but I think they're on good terms. The songs that she wrote, and it does make sense. Like she included him on so much album writing in the past. There's like 7 or 8 songs that he wrote on. She was with him for 6 years. Like, you don't date somebody for 6 years. And then, like, I mean, I guess you could find out that they're like a psychopath or something. But, like, you know, like, you don't just date somebody for 6 years and are completely like sign them off. Like, Taylor knew leaving that relationship that they were good. I honestly think it was like a clean mutual breakup. And she ran into Maddie and her life got flipped upside down. So, just so crazy. It's insane to me still. Like, think listening to the album and thinking about the fact that it is a Matty Healy album, I'm like, what the fuck? That being said, the only other thing that I need to talk about, or two other things I need to talk about, are the fact that this album has already sold 2.4 million units, 1.8 million being pure sales, and it is already gunning for the biggest debut album, number two biggest debut album in history, which is so, it's crazy, but also like, it's Taylor Swift. I'm not that surprised, but like, she just continues to outdo herself. And it's very, reading some of these numbers, I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Like, it really is crazy when you think about like the amount of people who are streaming her music and listening to her music and consuming her art. It's like, that's gotta be a weird thing to be Taylor Swift. Like, putting yourself in her shoes and being like, oh, X amount of billion people are listening to my diary. Very weird. But I mean, it's what she signed up for, it's what she wanted. So obviously, it's not like she's not crying wolf. I just like, I think about it sometimes and I'm like, that's so many people. So many people. It's fucking insane. And the other thing that I need to touch on, thank you, Amy. The fact that we have a Kim Kardashian track from Taylor Swift in 2024 was never going to be on my bingo card, but that seems to be the theme of the album. And the lore of it gets even crazier. Kim Kardashian posted a photo from 2022 today of her and Karlie Kloss. It's not just the two of them, but it's like she's in the photo. And I just cannot believe we are so back. We are so back. Is the photo a dig at Taylor? I don't know. Is it very coincidental that Kim posted this photo 4 days after a diss track about her from Taylor came out? I mean, I don't know. I don't know. It just seems a little fishy. The post was not about her, was not about Carly at all. She was just in the photo and like maybe she didn't have another picture to post. I don't know the situation, but it just seems very strange. Very strange. Like for Kim Kardashian to post a photo with Karlie Kloss 4 days after a Taylor Swift song about her comes out, I'm not good at math, but I don't know. Something is weird. But yes, that thank you, Amy track. Then when I woke up and I saw that, I was like, are you kidding? We are fully back. We are so back. It's insane. I kind of live for it. I see both sides. I see why Taylor released it. I get it. I could also see why Kim would be like, what the fuck is going on? Like, what is happening? And I don't want to get into my conflicting feelings there because, like, yes, it has been so many years and now a song is coming out. But also, like, if that's what Taylor's feeling, that's what Taylor's feeling. Who am I to upset a tortured poet? You know what I'm saying? So, that being said, if you want my full spiel on the Tortured Poets Department, head over to that episode. It is live now. Like I said, people are loving it. And thank you to everybody who listens to the entire 3 hour episode. I know that is lengthy. I did not expect it to be that long, but what can I say? When you put two professional yappers together who love Taylor Swift and ask them to talk about Taylor Swift, you're going to get a 3 hour podcast episode. So get comfy, sit down, break it up into parts, do whatever you got to do to get through it. But I promise you, it is worth the listen. We get so into this album and so into the lore. Lore, Carolyn, if you're listening to this, my friend Carolyn commented, she's like, take a shot every time you guys say lore. But there's a lot of lore on the album, all right? So there was just so much to discuss. I had so much fun with Delaney. So again, Delaney, thank you for doing that. And let's put Taylor Swift behind us for the episode because I honestly, and I'm not saying this in a bad way, but I can't talk about her anymore after that weekend. Like it's been so much, and I'm not obviously like anti, but I'm just like, I need to like give my brain a break from Taylor Swift for a little bit because I'm like, it was a lot. That being said, some other releases. So I didn't talk about these last week just because of the fact that I knew Tortured Poets was coming out. And I was like, I'm gonna just talk about these next week. But we did get two other releases. We got It Is What It Is from Rachel Chinariri and Paris Hilton released Fame Won't Love You, which was a collaboration with Sia. So this new Rachel track, if you've been listening, you know that I am loving everything Rachel has been putting out. She is a new, not really new, she's been putting out music for a while. She's new to me and her debut album is coming out, but she has a few EPs and other bodies of work that she's released. I am so excited for this album. I believe it comes out next week or the week after. So It is approaching very fast, and I cannot wait. Every single she's put out from it is so good. This new one, It Is What It is no exception. I love the sound. That little talking bit she does throughout is so fun. Loving it, loving it, loving it. If you have not listened to her yet, please go check her out. She is so good. Rachel Chinariri, again, her album comes out in like 2 weeks. She has five or six singles out. I'm sure you will love it. It is just such good music. I am obsessed. And then the next track, I'm going to be fully transparent. I have not listened to it yet. I heard it at the viewing party when I went on Friday night. They played it, but I have not like sat down and listened to it. But it is Paris Hilton, Fame Won't Love You. Essentially, this is a song to about her embracing motherhood. And the I like I said, I haven't listened to it, but I can't express enough how much I love seeing these Y2K it girls who went through it with the media, paparazzi. They all battled with whether it was like addiction or party, like whatever it was. Like, you know, there's the you just think about like the Bimbo Summit, like Paris, Lindsay, Britney, the three of them now just like living their lives, doing their things. It is so, I just love seeing it. I love to see Y2K it girls thriving in the year 2024. It makes me so happy. So to see Paris being a mom and like releasing music again and just doing what makes her happy, I love it. I will listen to the track soon. Like I said, I needed a break from Taylor, so I'm shifting back to some other music and like just kind of like engulfing into that for a bit because 31 tracks is a lot. So I will definitely be listening to Paris sooner than later, but I just needed to give her a little shout out because I have a special place in my heart for our Y2K girl. So those are our releases from last week. This week, the only release that I could really pinpoint that's coming out is Normani finally releasing the lead single from her upcoming album. It is called 159. Not really sure what the message behind it is, but it is dropping this Friday. There was snippet she released is very R&B focused, which is what I expected from her. Very, very excited for Normani to start releasing music again. We've been waiting for so damn long. Motivation, I loved it. I was all over that track. I saw her at the VMAs when she performed it. Like, I was ready for Normani world domination. And the fact that it had been, what, 5 years since that came out and we're just now getting an album, like, girl, you are so late. Your assignment is so late, but I will take it. It better deliver. It better be good. I am so excited. Honestly, I don't think she would release anything not good, to be honest. Like all the features and singles she has done over the last few years, I've loved. I'm not even singles, it's really just been features. So I'm just very excited for new music from her. I'm very much looking forward to this album. So we will chat about that release next week once it comes out. But those are all of our music releases. If you don't know, I do have a playlist that I update every week. It is on Apple Music, Spotify. You can find it in the link in my bio. And I always add the music that I talk about on the show so you can find it easily. I don't want to make you do the work. So go check that out. I will have the song on there. And yeah. Those are our Drew releases from the week. So let's move into some other pop culture topics. Staying on the topic of music, though, is Beyoncé doing Stagecoach this weekend? Like, let's be real together. Is Beyoncé coming out with Post Malone at Stagecoach? Because I think yes. There have been so many signs that point to yes, let alone the literal tractors that have, and like trucks that have pulled up with her Cowboy Carter branding on it. Like, it would just make sense for her to do a surprise pop-up at Coachella at Stagecoach with Post Malone. Obviously, they both just collabed on Levi's jeans. Also to note, Willie Nelson is performing at Stagecoach this year, and he has the two interludes with her, Smoke Hour 1, Smoke Hour 2. There's a lot of reasons why she would do Stagecoach, and a lot of reasons that I am fully believing this theory. Even the photo she posted the other day, I think it was yesterday, she's like on that truck. They were in Tokyo, but it's still like alluding to the trucks meaning something. Like, I think she's performing a Stagecoach this weekend, and I am freaking out. It'll be our first Cowboy Carter performance. She has done no performances of it, and she doesn't do performances usually until the album, like, she tours it. So if she comes out and does this, it will be so monumental, so huge for Post. I am on the edge of my seat, ready for Stagecoach, which I never thought I would say. You know my journey with country music. I don't keep up with it. It's not my go-to genre, but I am fully tuned in this weekend for her to be coming out for Post Malone's set. I don't think he's the headliner that day. He's like the one right before the headliner, like the second line, you know, if you could picture a festival lineup. So like still a huge performer. He's still, I think, second to last. So like I don't know. I signs are pointing to yes. And I swear to God, if we get a Beyonce performance this weekend, even if it's one song, I will die. She has been very active. She just updated literally like an hour before I started recording. She's been updating her bencountry.com website every few days with little snippets and things like that. No one knows what this website means. Like, it is literally just kind of like almost like a Pinterest board for her to just add videos and pictures to. And it's been like, it was every day the album release or like the week. Yeah, I think it was every day she was updating it. And she kind of stopped, and now it's been kind of sporadic, but we just got a new update. She put a new video on there. So I think she's gearing up for something. She's also been posting a lot on Instagram, which we all know, like, Beyonce isn't active on social media unless we need to be alert. And I am alert. I am fully alert. I am like, what is happening? What is going on? So stay tuned for that. I will be posting it immediately when it happens or if it happens, but I am crossing my fingers. I would die. I would die if she comes out with posts this weekend. That would be so, oh my God. Oh my God. I'm like freaking out thinking about it, but I don't know. You know, let's not count our chickens before they hatch, but I am very much believing these conspiracies. Oh my God. Moving on to some other news that I'm not so happy to report, but I also don't think it's true. And I've said this before. Whenever it comes to like a court case that's just like somebody like accusing somebody of something, I usually, unless there's like hard, solid evidence or like they are in court and it is proven, I usually kind of stay neutral and I don't believe it. But as of today, an old photographer of Megan Thee Stallion is suing her for saying that she created a hostile work environment, which I just don't see that happening with Megan Thee Stallion, but also that she forced him to watch her have sex with a woman in a moving car and then fat shamed him and told him do ne not to ever speak of this again. Now, again, I will always believe. I'll believe both parties until whoever's proven, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not gonna say this man is just coming at her for no reason, but Megan's lawyer did put out a statement that actually made me like kind of raise my brow, and I was like, he has a very good point. He said, "This is an employment claim for money. There's no sexual harassment claim filed, and with accusations to attempt to embarrass her, we will deal with this in court." So like clearly that just made sense to me. Like, he's not filing for sexual harassment, which if you were forced to watch somebody have sex in a car, like I believe that you would be more concerned about the sexual harassment than the work environment, you know what I mean? Because then he goes on to say that he stopped getting jobs from her and Roc Nation. He's also suing Roc Nation for it. Like, it does, again, if this happened, I am not saying this is okay. I'm not like whatever, but like it is weird that he didn't file for any sexual harassment claims, only for like a hostile work environment when his biggest argument is that he was forced to watch her have sex with a woman in a car, which I don't know. I mean, do your thing, I guess, but like we will see. So that would literally just happened today and I was like, oh, okay, we need to talk about this and like start this conversation because I'm like, what's going on? Also, like, it just makes me think of like the whole Lizzo thing where, like, again, she is going to court for it, but like, when the dancers were asked about it, they were like, well, we couldn't really pinpoint a moment, it was just the vibes. So, I don't know if this is something that like people are doing now to try to get like money out of these people, or if the legal system is like really good at protecting these people because they have the money, the celebrities. Like, I don't know. It is very crazy. And like, I feel like after Quiet on Set and like all of these things that come out about like Diddy and all these people, you just never know what to believe anymore. You know what I mean? But like, I don't know. Megan Thee Stallion is very much like a girl's girl and very much like doesn't seem like somebody who would make a hostile work environment. But then again, so did Lizzo. So it's hard to say. But until then, you guys know I love me some Megan, so I'm curious how this pans out, and the way that her lawyer is already releasing a statement almost makes me think like, okay, this is definitely not true because you don't just release a statement without like evaluating the entire possibilities. You know what I mean? Like you don't make a statement like that and be like, this will be handled in court. Unless you know and you have hard evidence that like this isn't true. So I'm leaning towards the fact that like that's not what happened. Like maybe she was kissing a girl or someone in the backseat and he's being dramatic about it. I don't know. Again, this has all just happened today. And I was like, oh, I'm recording today. Let's chat about it. But I'm curious, like, how this pans out. And I'm curious, like, especially with Roc Nation being involved, like, Roc Nation, they probably have the craziest legal team out there. Like, I don't know. I'm very curious how this pans out. So I wanted to just, bring it up, chit chat about it. And as much as I hate talking negatively about Megan Thee Stallion, I'm a pop culture podcast. I gotta update the people on the news, but I am, I'm hoping this isn't true, and I'm hoping that this is just a case of like they're looking for money and looking to embarrass Megan for some reason. Who knows? Maybe Nikki's up to it. I'm just kidding. That wasn't funny. But like, I don't know. It's such a weird topic to talk about. Like, it's such a weird thing, and like any situation like this, it's like, how do you talk about it without just like. Not like you don't know what happened. Like we are just spectators, you know what I mean? And it's just like I'm not laughing at what could have happened. I'm laughing at like what I don't know. I don't know actually what I'm laughing at. Who knows? I don't know. I will keep you updated on anything that comes from this case. But the lawyer's statement being so bold and coming out so quick, I'm leaning towards they're gonna beat this. But on some more exciting news, let's get past the negative weird stuff and talk about the fact that over the weekend the Spice Girls had a reunion. Now, not the reunion that we want. It wasn't all five of them announcing a tour, wasn't all five of them doing a concert or an appearance, but all five Spice Girls were in attendance for Victoria Beckham's 50th birthday party. They were there. David Beckham shared a video of them doing their choreography. It was two different songs they were doing it to. The girls were girling. And I couldn't be happier to see this. Like, I'm a 90s kid. I grew up loving the Spice Girls. I remember my older cousin Ashley was obsessed with the Spice Girls. And when I would go to their house, my brother would play with my cousin Mikey, who obviously they would do like their sports and wrestling. And I would go into my cousin Ashley's room because, baby gay. And I would listen to the Spice Girls with her. And like, that was our thing. We loved Baby Spice, who, I mean, I feel like everybody loved Baby Spice, but I loved the Spice Girls. And I'm so excited just to see any little inklings of them together. There are still some rumors of them doing a tour together. And I swear to God, if they do a tour, all five of, I mean, if even just four of them do a tour together, I'll be there. But if the five of them tour, that would be so insanely major. Like, beyond major. But this video, I will take it for now. It is filling the little Spice Girl hole in my heart, and it would just go so cute. Somebody also pointed out the fact that the order they were standing in is the same order that they would always stand in. You guys know how like girl groups, boy group, boy groups. Why do we call it girl groups and boy bands? Oh, is it the repetition? Is it the GGBB? Maybe that's why. Girl group, boy band. I don't know. Anyway, we know that they have their positions, especially like I feel like now it is a thing. Like if you are following a band and you know their spots on stage, like I remember like when I was deep in my Jonas Brothers stand-up, like you would be like, oh, I want Nick's side, I want Kevin's side, I want Joe's like center part. Like you knew where your fave stood. So like stands know the positioning. So somebody pointed out that like the Spice Girls, the five of them were standing in the position that they always usually stand in. Just like, and it wasn't even intentional, Victoria said. She quote tweeted it or on Instagram somewhere and said like this was not even intentional. It was just natural and happened. It's just a cute little thing, a fun little nod to the fans that the girls still got it. The Spice Girls are still spicy and I loved it. Could not let this week go by without talking about that. And in other throwback news, something that I have been talking about 4 weeks. And if you know me, you know how excited I am for Freaky Friday 2. Jamie Lee Curtis confirmed last week that they have begun the process of the movie. Now, I don't believe they've begun filming because I think that's coming in July, but they have started their meetings. I think they're doing like table reads, getting everything set for like actual production. I am so excited for this movie. Like, I go back and forth with how I feel about sequels and remakes and things like that, but when it's done right, I can appreciate any type of sequel, any remake, and the fact that Jamie Lee Curtis and Lindsay Lohan are both back on board for this movie, I just know it's going to be good. They both love this movie so much, and they have such a special bond, like they've stayed in touch over the years. Jamie Lee Curtis is like next to me and Jocelyn, Lindsay Lohan's biggest fan, I would say. So like she is not gonna let this movie be anything but great. But she shared a photo with Jodie Foster, who was honored at the Chinese Theater. She had her handprints and footprints and a signature put into the cement there, which is like a thing that they do in LA when you are an actress or actor of critical acclaim. She had her little moment there, and Jamie Lee Curtis was there with her to, I guess, present her with whatever, you know, not award, but whatever the honor was. She was there with her, and Jodie Foster played Lindsay's character in the original movie in 1976. She played Annabelle Andrews. Lindsay played Anna Coleman, but they were both the daughter in their movie. So just fun that like Jamie Lee Curtis was there with her the same day that the movie started their production, and Jodie Foster was in the original Freaky Friday. Just so much fun. I'm so excited for this movie to come out. I don't know when it's coming out. I know that there's talks between streams and theatrical release. Regardless, I cannot wait. I will be seated ready for this movie. I am so excited for Freaky Friday 2. Ugh, I can't. I'm so excited. So I just can't. I don't even have the words. It's gonna be so fabulous. It's gonna be so good. Oh my God, I can't wait. And we also still have another Lindsay Lohan movie coming out this year. She has, I believe it's a Christmas movie, or maybe I just made that up, but there's another movie, another Netflix film coming out this year. She filmed it in Atlanta. Actually, it might not be Christmas. It might just be another rom-com, but another movie coming out from Lindsay this year. So my girl has been working nonstop. How could you not love Lindsay? I feel like it's been a few weeks since I've mentioned Lindsay Lohan. So let's, you know, if you're new to the podcast, just buckle up. I love Lindsay Lohan. She's one of my favorite people in the world. And any chance I get to bring her up, I will bring her up. But we will put a pin in the Freaky Friday 2 conversations for now because we have some TV news to chat about, and it's spread. It's not just Drag Race. We have some Bravo news, and this is fun because if you've been listening for a while, you know that I am re-diving into my Bravo world. And I used to be a big Bravo kid when I was in high school. I watched all the Housewives. I watched like Kathy Griffin, I watched Tabitha, I loved Bravo in high school. Then I kind of stopped watching it, and I've recently gotten back into it, starting with the new Roni. And this weekend, like I said, since this is my first dive back into Bravo, it's my first time seeing on social media as they film, because social media didn't exist like this when I was in high school. People weren't posting on Instagram like that. You know, it's such a different world now. But the girls of the Roni cast were together this weekend. They went to go to the Hamptons to go to Erin's house, and Rebecca Minkoff was with them. Now, Rebecca Minkoff, she is a fashion designer, and she had been rumored to be joining the cast for a while. Unsure if she is fully joining the cast or if she's going to be a friend of, but she was with them this weekend in the Hamptons. They were playing tennis. They took a helicopter there. Jessel and Brynn at least took a helicopter. Like, the girls were girling. They had their little sprinter van moment. Like, they're all together. They are just having fun. So very excited for this new season of Roni. There is some controversy with Rebecca Minkoff, though, because she does have some ties to Scientology, and fans are already expressing some disinterest there. So I'm curious how that goes. I almost feel like they're going to introduce her as a friend of and not a cast member and see how people react to it. But I mean, if she has ties to Scientology, I just don't see that going over well. Like, I just don't know how that's going to work out with, you know, all of it. So I guess we will see. I don't know what her ties exactly are. I just know that she has some type. I think maybe she's donated to it before. I don't know if she practices. Like, I don't know exactly what the deal is. I honestly was like, I get freaked out with things like that. Like, when it comes to Scientology, I'm like, I don't even want to Google it because I don't want my sponsored ads to come up about it. Even like saying it out loud now, I'm like, I hope my FBI agent knows I'm recording and not, you know, not asking for it. So like, FBI agent in my phone, in my computer, in my microphone, in the world, hear me out now. I'm recording a podcast. This is purely informative. I am not asking you to serve me any Scientology ads on my Instagram, but watch, I'm still gonna get them. But that being said, Roni is filming. The original girls are back. We might have a friend of, might have a new cast member. I'm very excited. It's fun to see these behind the scenes that, again, I'm not used to seeing, because when I did watch Bravo back in the day, this wasn't a thing. We have come such a long way with social media, and it's fun. It's fun to see the girls together, see what they're doing, see who's like traveling together, see who's doing what. All the girls were there, and I just can't help but like laugh about thinking about the Hamptons trip from season, I guess it's season 14 of Roni, but really season 1 of like their season. You know, they did that weird thing where they combined New York City with New York, and now we're on season 15, but it's really season 2. It, very weird the way that they did that. I don't understand what that was and why they did it that way, but I don't work at Bravo, so I do whatever, I guess. But when they went to Erin Hampton's house on season 1 or season 14, and the whole conversation was just about the shakshuka and the fucking Pringles and caviar that Erin was serving them, and they were all starving. She better have food this time. There better be a full spread, and like I can't deal with another season of them all talking about being hungry. I get it. I understand you need a snack, you need to eat, and I hope Erin got the message loud and fucking clear, because I have to sit through another season of Sai bitching and moaning about not having enough food wherever she goes. I don't know if I can make it. I don't know if I'll be able to get it through, and that's no hate to Sai, no shade to any of them. I'm just like, let's get a better storyline going this season. Still loved it, still excited for this season. I am unsure of when it's airing. I don't think there's been any news about when it's going to come out, but if they're filming now, I assume it'll be a few months of a delay. Obviously, they have to edit the whole, you know how it works, the TV magic. But hopefully by the end of this year, maybe we'll have it, and then we can recap it on this show. And then in other Bravo news, another group of housewives are filming the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, and this is some not great news, to be completely honest. They so Mary Cosby is being accused of calling Lisa Barlow's 12-year-old son Henry the R-word at dinner with all of the rest of the cast. So there's been some insiders who have, I guess, were at the restaurant they were filming at, and they say that the entire cast was there. Heather, Angie, Meredith, like all of them were there. And allegedly, or no, it's confirmed, Mary called Lisa's 12-year-old son the R word, which is like, we are in 2024. Why is anybody throwing that word around, especially an adult, and especially when it is about a child? Like, he's 12 years old. And even if he does have any learning disabilities or things like that, to use that word to describe him is so, as a grown woman especially, is so crazy. And I cannot wait to see how that plays out on the show. Like, Lisa, is she gonna run out? She gonna cry? I'm shaking. I'm physically shaking. Like, how is she going to react to this? Because we know Lisa does not play about her children. Like, she is very mother bear. She is so with them. So I'm very curious how this goes. But apparently, from the insiders who were at the restaurant, they said that they were all really grossed out and like jumped onto Mary immediately, like making sure that she knew, like, that was not cool, which is not. I just don't understand like where that comes from. Especially like, Mary has had such a wishy-washy time on the show. She's in it and then she's not. And then she wants back in, but she doesn't go to the reunion. And then she talks this talk in confessionals, but she doesn't actually bring it up to people's faces sometimes. Like, she's just so wishy-washy. So to say that, I mean, if anybody in the cast is going to go to those lengths, I'm not surprised it's her, because I feel like she's not very self-aware and doesn't think before she speaks, and she thinks like she can get away with saying anything because of the way that her church worships her, which is a whole nother topic to get into. Like, that whole situation is so beyond sick and twisted. Like, I don't even know. But yes, there is some drama bubbling under for the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. And honestly, like, not that I'm glad that this is the drama that's happening, but I was curious, like, how they're going to add some fuel to this fire this season after the bombshell that was Monica being Reality Bontees last season. Like, there's a lot to live up to, and I'm very curious how they're going to live up to it. I love the cast, like, I love these girls, but Monica did add such a little a spice, and like, realistically, like, that whole fiasco is why I started the show. So I'm very curious to see how this season plays out now that we don't have that drama. There's no Jen Shah drama. Like, I am very tuned in. I'm excited regardless. Like, I'll watch it. And I again, like, I love the cast. So I'm very excited to see how this plays out. Moving on from some Bravo news into some Drag Race news. Again, we already touched on this, but we had the finale of Drag Race season 16 Nipia wind, you can't spell wind without win. The way that I was getting texts of people congratulating me because Nipia won, like that's when you know. I fully had, as soon as she won, people texting me, my friend Tashi, my friend Ashley. I had people DMing me, tweeting me. They were like, "You have been saying this since day one." Like they were so thrilled for me that she won, which is just like, yes, exactly. Like I love this bitch. She had killed it this season. Every runway, she's sure she had some slip ups and some challenges, but she never lip synced. She was never in the bottom. She made it through this season, never lip syncing, and then pulled that out. Let's not, you know what? Let's start at the top, actually. Let's not get ahead of ourselves because I'm already getting excited. So we start the show with no other than a RuPaul, excuse me, performance of Pink Limousine. One thing about RuPaul, she is going to perform. She is gonna stand on that stage, take up some airtime of her TV show, and just stand there while half-naked men dance around her. And you know what? Good for you. Do your thing. It is your show. You have been doing this for so long. Take the 3 minutes, do whatever you want. But we start the show with the performance from Mama Ru, which is always a treat, you know. Take it as you will. RuPaul starts the show off, and we almost immediately go into the performances. So the top three queens, Nymphia, Plain Jane, and Saphira, are lip syncing to original songs that were written for them by the producers. You guys, if you watch Drag Race, you know how it works. They have a song written for them essentially, and then they had to perform it. So the performances go on. Honestly, all three of them did a killer job at the performances. Obviously, Nymphia and Saphira were a little bit stronger than Plain Jane, but I will say I don't think Plain Jane's song really lent her as much as the other ones did to do anything crazy. She wasn't a front runner for me at all. If you've been listening, you know that. But like, at the end of the day, she made it the top three. She deserved it. She was a killer drag queen. She still is. She didn't quit drag or anything. But she killed it this season. She was great. She definitely deserved her spot in the top three. But I do think like her song was not as oomph. There wasn't as much like vava voom that she could do. I don't know that. When I watched it at the viewing party actually, and this is exposing me, but I left to get a drink during her performance. And then, because I was like, all right, it's fine. Like, I knew she wasn't going to make it to the top two, unfortunately. There was no world in which Saphira and Nymphia didn't make it to the top two, you know? So I was like, let me go get a drink now so I can get back and be seated for Saphira. But the three of them knocked it out of the park. I love the performances. I love the songs. It was so much fun. Nymphia being lifted up in the air like that with that little reveal she did. Saphira opening with the opera and the dress blowing in the wind. Like, it was so good. Also, the way that pit crew member was just throwing Nymphia over his shoulder as if she weighed 4 pounds. I'm like, if somebody tried to lift me up like that, it would not be anywhere near as graceful. And that is why she is America's newest drag superstar, and I am doing a podcast in my living room. And I'm fine with that. The performances were great, but we do quickly find out that we are moving on to a top two, and it is, in fact, Nymphia Wind and Saphira Cristal. So well deserved. As they are prepping for their final lip sync, we get a performance from none other than Miss Sasha Colby, our reigning queen, really like like I said, the big boss in Drag Race. I went to her show a few weeks ago. I forget what episode I talked about it on, but I was giving my whole spiel, pouring my heart out about how much I love Sasha Colby. She just is that girl. This performance that she came first and foremost, that look, that like all silver. One thing about Sasha Colby is she's going to serve body. She comes out, she performs Her by Megan Thee Stallion. I mean, Sasha Colby performing Megan Thee Stallion is a, it's literally like, what more could you ask for? It is an experience. It was so good. The way that she like flips her hair around, does a little whipping with it, like the girl can perform like no other. And that is why she is our reigning, or was our reigning drag superstar. Like, she is just drag excellence to such a degree that is untouchable by anybody but Sasha Colby. She fucking killed that lip sync. And then she comes out for her step down look. Oh my God. That dress? Are we kidding? Are we kidding? So I was actually, the viewing party I was at, Mirage was hosting it, and she said, all I'm gonna say when about Sasha Colby's step down dress is titties, and that's all she needed to say. They were sitting pretty in that dress. She looked so stunning, out of control. I mean, when doesn't she? But like, this was a whole new level. The entire audience let out such a gasp when she walked out. I mean, there's a bunch of gay people in a giant room, in Brooklyn. Like, of course, we're gonna gag over anything on Drag Race, but like, this was a different level. Like, we were all bugging out. She looked so incredible. So, Sasha Colby's on the stage and just, pisses on every other bitch in the room. And then we also find out Miss Congeniality, which for the first time in Drag Race herstory, we have a double Miss Congeniality crowning, I guess we can call it, which is crazy. I didn't know that a winner could be eligible for Miss Congeniality. I don't know if that's a new rule or things like that, but Tsunami Muse and Sofia Cristal both win the title of Miss Congeniality season 16, and they both take home $10,000, which they were just giving out money left and right this season. Every single contestant got $2,000 from Olay in the finale. I went through and I actually found a spreadsheet of how much money everybody won. Nymphia Wind walked away with $216,950. Saphira Cristal walked away with $60,400. Morphine Love Dion, the mug of all mugs, walked away with $50,700. Plain Jane, $43,100. And Tsunami Muse walked away with $12,500. Tsunami walking away with 12 grand. Girl, good for you. Like, get your coin. She ate. Morphine walking away with $50,000. Girl, like, it is, it they were shelling out cash left and right. And that's not even the rest of the cast. There were some girls who even they were making, like, some of them left. I mean, they all left with 2 grand, but like, they had 3 grand, 4 grand. Like, they got some pretty pennies this season. They are rolling in the dough with this Cash App and Olay body sponsorship, and good for them. They put so much work into this competition and coming. The least they can do is get a little money to, spend when they get home. So lots of money to be shelled out. We see Miss Congeniality. Like I said, Sasha Colby comes out. Oh my gosh, we had a tribute to Elvira, which was so. I don't know much about Elvira. Obviously, I knew she was like a character and, her. That's not how she dresses all the time. But I didn't know, her history of being a go-go dancer and going on a date with Elvis and being a singer and like everything she has done. So that was fun to learn about. And she really is a drag queen. Like, when you boil it down, like, she gets into drag to be Elvira. I love that little tribute, especially after they did that runway kind of inspired by her this season. Such a fun little tribute. I loved it. What did she get? The Giving Us Lifetime Achievement Award, which one thing about Drag Race is they're going to make a pun, which is what I love. I love a good pun. I mean, I work on social media. I write captions all the time. I love a good little pun. So I think that just like scratches an itch in my brain when Drag Race does it. So she gets the Giving Us Lifetime Achievement Award. I just love saying it. It's so funny. And then it is time for the final lip sync. We find out that these girls, Saphira Cristal and Nymphia Wind, are lip syncing to no other than the gay anthem of 2023, Padam Padam. I can't think of a better song to make these two lip sync to battle out for the crown. It is so good. I mean, Kylie Minogue has been a fan of Drag Race for years, so I'm not surprised that she was, quick. I'm sure she sent them. They were like, she was like, here, take it, whatever you want with it. Like, she probably gave it to them for nothing. Like, she was probably more excited, like Miley, like more excited for it to be part of the show than to actually get any kind of check or clearance for it. So they lip sync to Padam Padam, and holy shit. Holy shit, this lip sync was so good. So good. We have not seen Nymphia lip sync at all this season, so we did not know what to expect. I, being a Nymphia stan, have watched so many of her performances since being on the show, so I know the bitch can lip sync. She delivered such a performance. I was gooped, I was gagged, I was shook. First and foremost, the reveal, the boba reveal with the balloons that fly out from under her cape. Genius. Genius. But then she continues to do a cartwheel, unzipping or taking whatever off of her bodysuit and landing the cartwheel in a different outfit. She started the cartwheel and ended the cartwheel in two different outfits. I can't even do a cartwheel in one outfit. And this bitch is doing a change mid-cartwheel on stage. That is why she won $200,000. Like, are you kidding me? Do not get me wrong, Safira devoured that lip sync as well. Her reveal, I loved it. I loved the wig reveal, but Nymphia really just stole the show. And it really does show that, like, this can come down to the final lip sync. Like, this can literally, Safira had, I mean, they both had killer track records, but on paper, Safira, actually, no, I think they both had four wins. So I take that back. Yeah, the only thing that Safira had, actually, I guess Nymphia had a better track record because she was never in the bottom. So that being said, Nymphia Wind is now crowned as America's newest drag superstar. This season was so good. This is one of the best seasons we have had of Drag Race in years. I loved the queens on it. I loved what they gave. The finale was so fun. This was such a fantastic season, and I am so happy that this was the first season I got to recap on Too Pop to Handle. It just, I don't know, I loved this season so much. I have loved recapping it, and I'm sad that it's over. Like, I'm like, oh my God, now we don't have a Drag Race recap. But do not be alarmed, because in typical Drag Race fashion, we are already getting a new season of All Stars in 3 weeks, I want to say, May 17th. And today, it's like they knew I was recording. We got our Meet the Queen. So, of course, we are going to dive into this Meet the Queens and go through this cast list because it is a good cast. So, first and foremost, we have Gottmik from season 13, who I loved on her season. Can we just talk about her entrance look wig? That checkerboard wig, I don't understand. Her makeup, her hair, her outfits, she really never misses. Like, she is so on it with her looks always. She truly has never looked bad a day in her life. This look was crazy. The way that the hairline literally looked like it was her real hair, but it was a checkerboard. Like, how did you do that? And to have a checkerboard wig all the way throughout, like, it was insane. Absolutely loved it. Loved her promo look. So excited to have her back on this season. Then we had Roxy Andrews, who is coming back for third. She was on season 5, All Stars 2, and I'm so thrilled to have Roxy Andrews back on our TV. Does she kind of play the villain sometimes? Of course. Is she kind of a mean girl sometimes? Of course. At the end of the day, she's a drag queen. This is a gay man in a wig. I don't give a fuck. She's good TV. I am so excited to have Roxy Andrews back. And the bitch can sew. The bitch can make a look. The bitch knows. She's so talented. So I think to have her back for a third time, I want to say third time might be a charm. I could see Roxy taking the crown at the end of the season. And she, I might be rooting for her. It's hard because the rest of the cast, even Gottmik, like, I love pretty much all of these queens. So I'm really torn of who I want to win. But I really could see Roxy taking it to the end. And something cool that my friend Jason pointed out, if Roxy does win this crown, the top three from season 5, Jinx Monsoon, Alaska, and Roxy, will all be crowned, which I don't think we've ever had like a final group of four, a three, a two, any from one season all have crowned. Alaska won All Stars 2. Jinx has two crowns. She has season 5 and All Stars 7, Queen of All Queens. Like, if Roxy wins and all three of them have a crown, that would be kind of gaggy. Season 5 was such a good Drag Race season, and it would just make sense that, like, if any season the top is going to be all crowned, it would be season 5, I would say. Very excited to have Roxy back on TV. Another queen coming back for a third, Miss Vanjie. Miss Vanjie. Now, I got into my Drag Race journey late. I did not start watching until 2019, 2020. It was right, yeah, like 2020, I want to say. So I was very late, and I am the first to admit I know I was late, but I did the work. I binged all the seasons, every All Stars, the international, whatever they had. Did they have international? Yeah, they had UK. Yeah, they had UK out already. I think that was it. And then I just jumped on from there. But there were three things that I remember happening in Drag Race history live on Twitter. One of them being, spoiler alert for All Stars 4, Monet and Trinity the Tuck being a tie. I remember my timeline being up in flames that it was a tie for All Stars. I remember Alaska winning All Stars 2 and people being so excited and also being like, what the fuck do you mean Katya was robbed? And I remember Miss Vanjie being all over my Twitter timeline. I have like core memories of those, and somehow I didn't start watching the show sooner. But Miss Vanjie being back on the show, she is just like a staple in Drag Race. I will never get tired of her. I love her. She cracks me up. I loved her on all of her seasons. I actually was, when I realized it was her first All Stars, I was shocked, but I guess because like she did the Vegas show, she did 2 seasons back to back, so it felt like she did an All Stars because, you know, they turn the girls leave their season and then they have to repack for All Stars now. Like, crazy the way that they do that. But I feel like Vanjie had some time to kind of really like even get better than she already was, and now she's gonna be back for All Stars. So excited to have her back on our TV. And another season 11 girl who I am obsessed with, and I actually have a funny story about this, Plastique Tiara, who I feel like most people, even if you don't watch Drag Race, you know Plastique Tiara. She is the most followed girl, most followed drag queen on TikTok. She's stunning. In and out of drag, just drop dead gorgeous. I cannot wait to see her. The TikTok money is clearly paying her well because her promo look alone, she is so, ugh, I'm obsessed. And so I actually met Plastique back at the People's Choice Awards. What was that, in February? She was at the after party. She was out of drag, so I didn't want to like go up and talk too much Drag Race stuff because I was like, she's here out of drag. She clearly doesn't really want to talk. Or maybe this was me assuming. I was like, I don't want to go up to her and be like, oh my God, Drag Race, Drag Race, Drag Race. And at this point, the All Stars cast was already rumored. And I knew that she was heavily rumored on it because you can tell when people are off social media, things like that, for a while that they go away to film. So I was like sitting there chatting with her. It was quick. We had like a quick minute long conversation. I was just like, hey, like, huge fan. I love your work. Like, da da da. We were just like chit chatting, like, super, super quick. It wasn't anything too intensive, but in the back of my head, I was like, don't mention All Stars 9, don't mention All Stars 9, don't mention All Stars 9, because it was just a rumor at that point. And I was like, not that I would have brought it up even if I did know, like, you know, if it was confirmed, but I was just like, that is crazy that I was sitting there talking to her and she knew that she had just filmed all, or she had been waiting for All Stars 9 to begin now. So, fun little tidbit there. Very excited to have her back on our screen because I just like looking at her. She is stunning in and out of drag. Very excited and just like knows how to turn a fucking look. Another bitch who knows how to turn a look and turn a lip sync, more importantly, is Georgia, season 14. RuPaul literally told her, you were born to do drag. It was inevitable she'd be back for Drag Race, or for All Stars, rather. I am so excited to have her back on our TVs. Nina West, season 11. Another season 11 queen. So we have, what is that, three from season 11? Yes, Nina West. She is back in action. She kind of sticks out of this cast a bit. Looking at the cast, I'm like, she doesn't, everyone else, I don't know, something about her, I'm just like, she doesn't mesh with the rest of the cast, I feel like with everybody else. But I mean, hey, welcome back, I guess. I don't know. She's definitely not someone I'm like thrilled to, I'm not like waiting for her to be on All Stars. I don't dislike her. I don't like her. I'm not, she's just kind of there. She's very talented, obviously, but she is someone who I'm like, all right, cool. She's on the show. Whatever. Doesn't make or break it for me. But this next bitch, she was my favorite on season 14. I loved her. I was obsessed with her. Literally, pretty much the whole season, I was rooting for her. I wanted her to win so bad. Angeria, she gets back. She looks out of control in her promo and in her entrance look. She is so funny. She just cracked me up on her season. She was so funny, so good at drag. Just like, she also just like made good TV. Like, she had these like silly little one-liners that like it was funny because she didn't always know she was being funny, you know what I mean? Like, she would like say something and be dead serious, but it was hilarious that she didn't pick up what people were saying. So I loved her personality. I love her drag. I'm so excited to have Ingeria back on our TV. And the final queen of this season is Chanel from season one and All Stars one. So we have an OG girl coming back, which is so cool. I really love to see that they're bringing people back from, I mean, Drag Race premiered how many years ago? Like, she is coming back for her third time, another one dipping in for thirds. So, yeah, very excited to have Chanel back. Very excited for this cast. I'm thrilled to just have another season of Drag Race already. I feel like there's sometimes where I go through like a Drag Race fatigue where I'm like, I cannot watch another episode of this show, but I am on just like a high. Maybe it's because I'm recapping it every week and I love talking about it, but like, I am ready for a new All-Star season. I am so excited. Some things to note though. Obviously, the cast is small. There's only eight girls this season. and they are competing for charity. So I don't know if they will be winning cash prizes each week, maybe, and then the final prize goes to charity. Like, I can't imagine going and doing All Stars and spending the money on all of these looks and like putting in the effort and like going away from your people, going off the grid for so long and not having a cash prize. But like, they do it in the UK, like on the UK season, like it's illegal to win cash on a TV show in the UK. So I don't know. Maybe they really are just doing it out of the goodness of their heart, but like, they're better than me because I'm sorry. I would not. The amount of money that these girls pay for their Drag Race packages, like for their looks to be made, is so many tens of thousands of dollars. Imagine how much Gottmik spent. Gottmik has all of her looks so, like, they're all so, like, couture and so detailed. And, like, there's gotta be so much money going into all of these girls, really. But, like, Plastique, are you kidding? Her looks? Like, she always has such full, detailed, well-rounded looks. Like, there's got to be some catch of like they win money each week or something, and like the final prize goes to charity. Very curious how that's going to work. And if they are just playing for charity, good for you. You guys just secluded yourselves in, you know, like a Golden Child Hall of Fame because like you're better than me and most of these drag queens that would never go on a TV show for no money. That being said, it is a non-elimination season, meaning nobody goes home. It is just like All Star 7, but I don't know how I feel about this. So, All Star 7, the difference there when it was non-elimination, it was all winners. They had already all won the season once. They were back to compete for the Queen of All Queens. That makes sense as to why nobody would go home. They don't need to prove anything. They already won. And All Star's regular season is girls who didn't do it well enough for right the first time, and now they're coming back for their second, some of them their third time. And that's no shade to any of them. Like, there's a lot of girls, there's a lot of talent. It's hard to win Drag Race. I couldn't do it. Like, it is hard to win Drag Race. So coming back and it being a non-elimination season, I understand like that's more beneficial for the girls because now they can spend the money on their looks and showcase every single one of them. And I don't know. Not sure how I feel about it. I do really like this group of girls, so I'm excited that I will have the full however many weeks with them. You know what I mean? Like, we'll still get them every week, their confessionals, like, you know, their drama in the workroom, whatever it may be. But it is interesting. And Candy Muse tweeted, she was on All Stars 8, and she said that a lot of the girls were like raising hell. They were like, we should not be going home each week. We have so many looks to show and so much money put into it. And apparently, allegedly, I mean, Candy producer Muse, I believe it coming from her mouth, that the season All Stars 8 girls were complaining so much that that's why they're doing it this way. So I guess we'll see. I don't see Candy just like lying on the internet because she's very much, if you know Candy Muse, like she is gonna tell it how it is and just like she just opens her mouth and speaks. So I'm curious if that is what happened. I'm curious how this non-elimination works. Curious if they're gonna make any money from it. I don't know. Very, I'm excited. I am. I'm curious how this is going to go. Premieres May 17th, Paramount Plus. Get ready. We will recap it every single week. And I'm so excited that we are not going that long without another Drag Race season. And that being said, that is the end of the episode, but not so fast. We still have my yes and my mess. So if you're new here, every single week I end my show with a yes and my mess of the week. Yes being something I'm loving, mess being something I'm not loving. And we always start on the high note. And my yes this week is Sabrina Carpenter's Coachella Weekend 2 outro. If you follow me anywhere, if you've listened to the podcast, you know I am A, obsessed with Sabrina Carpenter, but more so, maybe not more so, but also obsessed with her and Barry. They're my favorite celebrity couple at the moment. I said it a few weeks ago, last week, I'll say it again. I love them. And her outro for Nonsense this weekend at Coachella, and I quote, "Made his knee so weak he had to spread mine. He's drinking my bath water like it's red wine. Coachella, see you back here when I headline." He's drinking my bath water like it's red wine. Obviously, Barry was in Saltburn, the whole gag of the movie. He drinks Jacob Elordi's bath water. Like, her using that is so good. I love it so much. It is so good. Also, see you back here when I headline. crossing my fingers, girl, headline next year when I'm going to go for my 30th. Like, I am manifesting. There's also some rumors that Dua Lipa is doing Coachella next year. If she does Coachella next year, I will be there. We're not going to get into it. I keep the mess on one topic, but Sabrina Carpenter and Barry, you guys are my favorite. Ugh, I love them so much. And I love this outro. So much fun. Coachella weekend two also delivered. Like, it was not boring by all means. Like, the girls were girling all weekend. And yeah, I feel like it was a great year for Coachella. I feel like next year is going to be like the way that people were so into it this year. People are going to flock next year. And I'm one of them. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to turn 30 in the desert. So we will see, where we end up for Drewchella 2025. But that being said, we're going to flip it and reverse it and talk about my mess of the week, which is Euphoria Season 3. Zendaya has been doing press for the Challengers, and it was actually my yes a few weeks ago, how much I loved her press run she's been doing with La Roche, all of her looks. Somebody asked her about Euphoria Season 3, as you do. It's probably one of the biggest TV shows we've had in years, and it's just kind of been in a hiatus. And she says, "I don't know, I'm not in charge, it's beyond me." Now, I mean, Euphoria is such a fantastic show, from the writing to the characters to the production to the way it's filmed to the soundtrack. And for it to be kind of up in the air about season three and when it's happening, if it's happening, who's going to be on it, when it's going to film, it's so sad. It ended in such a way, like, there's such a story to be told still for season three, but it's getting to a point where, like, I've watched it every single week live since season one. I mean, it's only two seasons, but episode one, premiere night, like, I watched it and I've watched every episode live. I've rewatched it. Like, I love Euphoria. And I'm even like, do we even need a season three at this point? Like, season one and season two were so good that I'm like, everyone's kind of like losing interest. I mean, watch, season three comes out, it's gonna be great, I'm sure. But like, the cast just doesn't seem into it. And it's sad. Like, granted, they're all doing bigger things. Like, Sydney Sweeney's on top of the world. Zendaya has been on top of the world for years. Jacob Elordi's doing his thing. Like, they are all doing all right. But I'm like, what's going on with season three? Is it gonna be good? Is it gonna suck? At this point, I almost feel like they should just do like one long episode and like tie up all the character stories. Like, do like an hour and a half, 2 hour episode, kind of like they did in between season one and season two. They did those, was it two or three episodes, just focusing on the like individual characters that kind of held us over. Just give us like a 2 hour movies type situation, tie up all the stories, get it done, and like put the bow on top. Like, put all of your work and effort into it. Because even the way that Zendaya is talking about this, I'm like, they're not into it. Like, I'm sure they'll all deliver a killer performance if and when it does happen. But I'm like, if you guys are kind of like, eh, about it, we're all gonna be eh about it. And it was sad to see, sad to hear, especially because I'm loving this press tour she's doing for The Challenger. I definitely want to go see that movie. It's getting really good reviews. But I was just like, ugh, that sucks. Like, such a good show. And I loved it. And I would love for it to come back. I would love to recap it on the show. Like, it was truly one of my favorite shows. But at this point, is kind of just like blowing away in the Nymphia wind. And what a perfect way to end the episode. Thank you guys so much for listening to this week's episode of Too Pop to Handle. If you like what you heard, make sure you leave us a 5-star rating, leave us a review. If you're watching us on YouTube, make sure you hit that like button, hit that subscribe, leave me a comment, tell me what you guys are thinking. If you like to keep up with me, you can follow me at Too Pop to Handle on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube, all the things. If you want to follow me, my personal Instagram, my Twitter, everything is at Andrew Nucatola. Like I said, make sure you go check out my Tortured Poets Department episode with Delaney. It is long. I'm prefacing it now, but I promise you, it is worth it. Listen to it in parts. Don't forget about the giveaway that we're doing. You still have 2 more days to enter for a chance to win a signed Taylor Swift vinyl and a Tortured Poets Department necklace. I mean, like, you could rock the necklace while you spin the vinyl and look at your framed Taylor Swift signature. Oh, and if it adds anything to it, I opened the vinyl to check to make sure that it did come signed because they're having some issues with their merch team. And if you're a Taylor fan, you'll know that this is important. This signature has a heart. So if that entices you any more to go enter this, you will get a Taylor Swift signature with a heart on it. And with that, I will catch you guys next week. Bye.